DiscerningHearts.com presents Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I am delighted to be joined by Father Donald Calloway, who is a convert to Catholicism and a member of the Congregation of Marians of the Immaculate Conception. Before his conversion to Catholicism, he was a high school dropout who had been kicked out of a foreign country, institutionalized twice, and thrown in jail multiple times. After his radical conversion, he earned a BA in philosophy and theology from the Franciscan University of Steubenville, Masters of Divinity and STB degrees from the Dominican House of Studies in Washington, D.C., and an STL in Mariology from the International Marian Research Institute in Dayton, Ohio. Father Calloway is the Vicar Provincial for the Mother of Mercy Province and the Vocation Director for the Marians. He's also the author of several books, including No Turning Back, A Witness to Mercy, and Purest of All Lilies, The Virgin Mary in the Spirituality of St. Faustina. With Father Donald Calloway, we go inside the pages of Under the Mantle, Marian Thoughts from a 21st Century Priest, published by Marian Press. Father Donald Calloway, thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor.
Well, your books just get better and better, Father.
Oh, thanks so much. I appreciate that very much.
Well, especially when you focus it through the lens of Our Lady, and you give us so much more in this particular one besides your outstanding conversion story, but that just the heart and the mystery of the Church.
Yeah, it's kind of a follow-up to my conversion story, in that I've been given my conversion story for so long now, and people were asking me, you should put in a book form all the other talks that you give, you know, about the Eucharist and the Church and the priesthood, Divine Mercy. So I thought, you know, that's a great idea. And so that's what I did. And of course, Our Lady is the central theme throughout the whole book. And it all came together just so well, and I'm just so very pleased with it.
A beautiful presentation. It has a different feel about it than most big books that you would look for information on the Church and an explanation on the mysteries. There's a blending here, Father, that's really quite beautiful.
Yeah, thanks. That's so cool that you say that, because that's what we wanted to do with this book. When me and my community were talking about it, I wanted to make it a book for the new evangelization. So it's not too heady, it's not too academic. And anybody can pick it up and read it and understand it and get it. And so at the end of each section, I have quotes about Our Lady that kind of affirm everything that I was saying in that section. And those quotes are from saints and blesseds and popes. And it just goes so well together, and it flows so well that even though the book is 300 pages, it's a pretty easy read, and I'm so glad that you said that, because that was the intended goal.
Talk to us about Our Lady. Did you feel it was so important to begin this work with her?
Well, for those who know me, they know that, you know, my conversion to Catholicism and then my call to the priesthood really was because of Our Lady's intercession. She brought me to Jesus, and she brought me to the Church. And then through her, I discerned my gift of the priesthood. And so everything that I do really has a Marian stamp to it, because I just love her so much. And I think that she's a real essential piece for the new evangelization. And I think that if we're going to get the world to fall back in love with Jesus and with the Church, I think that, as St. Catherine of Siena says, we need to use Our Lady as bait. Because she's so lovely, she's so beautiful, she's so wonderful. And who doesn't love a lovely mother and a beautiful mother? And so I think that she is just such a gift from God for us, that sometimes when the harshness of, you know, the message of repentance is presented to us, sometimes we're like, I don't know, that's pretty hardcore. But when it's preceded by this beautiful lady, by this beautiful mother, it's more palpable, it's more presentable, and it's more desirable, because we see that it's a mother, Our Lady, the Mother of God, and our spiritual mother, who knows that this is what's best for us. And so that's what I wanted to do, was to present the truth that's in the book, because there's some tough stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
But to get souls to see that they too can become as beautiful and as lovely as Our Lady, which is really what God wants for us.
The fact that you would begin the first chapters of this with an easing for anybody who had hesitations about Our Lady,
mm-hmm.
to be able to present that. So it's almost as though you're passing through her womb into the mm-hmm. bigger mysteries of the church.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's a great way to put it. Is I wanted to present first just the honor that's due to Our Lady because of who she is and what God has done for her, so that then she can guide us because of her role for the church into the deep mysteries of the Eucharist and the papacy and the church and the priesthood and prayer. And then even, you know, great anthropological things that people are struggling with in our times. You know, the last two chapters in my book are on manhood and femininity.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of, you know, crazy thought out there today about what it is, what it isn't. So I wanted to present that also in the light of Jesus and Mary, you know, the God-man, and then Our Lady is the perfect woman. And I just think it flows so well.
Father Calloway, you have us really contemplate that total consecration at the beginning. Mm-hmm. It is trusting ourselves in her care to guide us even deeper into these mysteries. That consecration mm-hmm. seems to be so very important for you to communicate to others.
Yeah, it really is, because, you know, as Scripture shows us, you know, the bookends of history, from Genesis to Revelation, what we see there is that the victory has been promised to the woman. And of course, we know that that woman is Our Lady. She brings the Savior into the world, who conquers the darkness. But the way that God does it is through the woman, Our Lady. And so I think the more that we realize that, the better, and the more we give ourselves to her, the more we're going to be guaranteed that we're going to have victory in our lives over the darkness, over our vice, over our sin, so that the kingship of Jesus Christ can reign in us. When we give ourselves to Our Lady, when we consecrate ourselves to Our Lady, that's what happens for us. The King is honored, the King is glorified, and the King is worshipped. And what better could I do as a priest than to get people to go to Jesus through Mary?
Mm. I just for those listening who have entered into that total consecration, or maybe you're contemplating that, I really feel that your book, Under the Mantle, Father Calloway, is the answer to those people who have done a consecration, and then they think to themselves, what's next?
Mm-hmm.
What do I do next? Because there's always that search, whether it's through St. Louis de Montfort or that representing of the de Montfort consecration by Father Michael Gately, that there are those souls that you have to go to Jesus now and enter mm-hmm. into his church. And I think your work does that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm hoping that, that's what people will do, is once you make the consecration, then you can move into that next phase of unpacking the teachings of the church and understanding what the great gifts we have are in our faith, especially when it comes to, you know, the sacraments, the Eucharist especially. I mean, then, you know, the papacy, which, you know, obviously right now is a great time to give teachings on the papacy, you know,
mm-hmm.
And on so many other things. And so that's what I'm hoping that the book will do.
That section on the papacy, that was so touching and so timely, because you spoke of your great love of the church.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, where would we be without the church, and where would we be without the papacy? And both are just such great gifts, because through both, we come to know the authentic message of Jesus. And so, you know, we really need to be supportive and loving towards the church and the papacy, because without them, it would be chaotic. We would be all kind of winging it and making up our own interpretations of the Bible and, you know, what we think in matters of morality. But that's not what God wants for us. He's definitely spoken to us, and he continues to speak to us. through the teachings of the Church and through our Holy Father. When he speaks in matters of faith and morals, we're guaranteed that we're hearing the voice of our Lord because of that office that Jesus established in the papacy. What a gift.
Father Calloway, you've been a priest now for, praise God, for a decade.
Mm.
And you've experienced so much. I mean, you came into the Church at a time when the Church was suffering such that scourging at the pillar, as it's been termed, because of the abuse scandal. Now we're in another phase, a place where so many never anticipated we'd be at. What are your feelings? What are your thoughts at this moment?
Yeah, these are definitely interesting times, and I'm not so sure that the persecution is going to get any less. I think that the Church is probably at this point about ready to mount the cross. I think that the world and, you know, so many things are against the Church right now that we've got some real spiritual battles ahead of us in matters of morality and so many things that we really need to stay as close as we can to our Lord and to our Lady and to the Church and her sacraments, because we really need, on a global level, conversion. There's a lot of bad stuff going on in the world right now. And yet, in spite of that, as I have a chapter in my book, you know, God has not abandoned us. He's not left us. Matter of fact, he's poured out a message of mercy for our times. It's incredible. So as dark as the times are, and as ready as we need to be for whatever is coming, God is still so merciful. It's incredible.
This is mystagogia you're touching on here.
Yeah, it is. And that's why I think it's for those who may not know the faith too well, or may just know the basics but haven't gone very deep in matters of catechesis and understanding it and unpacking it, that's what I wanted to do, was put, you know, basically 9 of my talks, my best talks or most frequent talks from the road into book form. Mm-hmm. So it's basically you're hearing a priest preach, but in written form. It's that mystagogy, and it's getting the message out there in a way that I can and effectively do it to the multitudes. Because I'm limited in where I can go geographically and how many places I can speak in 1 week and so forth. But when you get it out there in a book form, gosh, you can have 1,000 people reading it, and, you know, all at the same time in different places. It's a great tool for the new evangelization.
Oh, I love God's Rehabilitation Center. What a great way, believe it or not, to describe the Church.
Yeah, and that's really what it is. I mean, I know that firsthand, you know, myself, for those who know my conversion story, just being a real pagan teenager that I was, and really toying with the world, and then having my conversion, and knowing that, you know, the best thing that we can do for somebody, basically, is to do an intervention and help them to become Catholic, or more Catholic, deeper Catholic than they ever were. And they might go kicking and screaming, which is normally the case, and that's fine. But the Catholic Church is the answer. She's got everything that we need for our eternal well-being. The medicine, you know, the bread of life. We get the best psychological counseling and therapy you can imagine in confession. We have the divine physician, Jesus. We have the heavenly nurse, Our Lady. We can get a daily dose of this life-giving bread and Holy Communion at Mass. I mean, it's just incredible. Mm-hmm. The teachings of the Church are the best steps that we could ever take in finding the meaning and purpose in life. That's what it's all about.
We'll return to Inside the Pages in just a moment. Did you know that you can obtain a free app which contains all your favorite Discerning Hearts programs? Father Timothy Gallagher, Dr. Anthony Lillis, Archbishop George Lucas, Father Mauritius Fildi, and so many more, including episodes from Inside the Pages, can be obtained on the Discerning Hearts free app. This also includes all the novenas and devotionals and prayers, including the Holy Rosary and Stations of the Cross, the Chaplet of St. Michael, and the Seven Sorrows of Our Lady, all available on the Discerning Hearts free app. Visit the iTunes and Google Play app stores to obtain your free Discerning Hearts app today.
Soul of Christ, sanctify me. Body of Christ, save me. Blood of Christ, inebriate me. Water from the side of Christ, wash me. Passion of Christ, strengthen me. O good Jesus, hear me. Within thy wounds, hide me. Suffer me not to be separated from thee. From the malignant enemy, defend me. In the hour of my death, call me, and bid me come to thee, that with thy saints I may praise thee, forever and ever. Amen.
If you have been blessed in some way by the spiritual nourishment and teachings offered freely by all those involved with Discerning Hearts programs, please consider a positive review for the various programs on the iTunes and Google Play stores. This is a great way to help the ministry and is an encouragement to others who are seeking the best in spiritual formation to find and check out the programs. Won't you please help? It's an easy way to help give back and to be a part of the mission. Thank you, and God bless from all at Discerning Hearts.
We now return to Inside the Pages. I love the fact that you bring forward that title of Jesus as the Divine Physician.
Mm-hmm.
Because don't you think, Father Calloway, that in, I don't want to say just in our country, I think it's part of the human condition, we run from suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, that is something that we have to be able to enter into if we're ever going to get through to His mercy.
Oh, I totally agree. I think that, you know, as I have in one of the chapters in the book on prayer, I say that the cross is like a wedding ring, and our Savior wears it faithfully, and He wore it till the end, and we as Christians have to be willing to wear that ring also, and publicly, and be witness to that, because as, when we take that ring off, the wedding ring of the cross, we're in the danger zone. We're showing that we're not that committed to the lover of our soul, Jesus Christ, when we're not willing to wear that cross. You know, suffering can be difficult. There's no question about that. Mm-hmm. And Christians are not called to be masochists, you know, going out and, you know, jumping off of, you know, cliffs or anything. But when suffering comes our way, and it will for everyone, we're all going to suffer. The Christian has, it has great meaning. We can bear it and give it to Christ because we love Him and know that He can transform it for good. I'm so excited that people, I hope that you're going to get so much out of this book.
Well, I think they will. I think part of that relief from that suffering is just in, there's that wound, that brokenness, that, that somehow we cling to that sin and we don't want to let that go because we think that can be the balm. And as you so beautifully write, especially in that section on confession, that can make all the difference. We encounter Jesus in a really special way.
Oh yes, absolutely. I try to give some of my experiences from when I was becoming Catholic and after I became Catholic of what that was like of going to confession, and I call it a curtain of mercy because you know, we enter in behind this what resembles, you know, what happens on an operation table in a hospital when you go in and the curtain is pulled, and behind that curtain, you know, the miracle of medicine is performed on you. And in confession, when you go behind, you know, the curtain or whatever it may be that's set up in the church, you really are entering into an encounter of healing with the divine physician, Jesus, you know, the doctor for our souls. And it's just incredible how they parallel each other in many ways, what happens in a hospital and what happens in the church. And it's free. It's absolutely free. You don't have to pay a dime. It's the best deal there that there is. Mm-hmm. It's just incredible.
What is the block, even today? I mean, there seems to be such a hesitation to enter into that confessional line or to make that phone mm-hmm. call to say, I need help. And what would you say to that person out there who is on the fence?
Yeah. Well, I would say we, as human beings, we need that reassurance that we are forgiven audibly, because we're not, you know, we're not angels, we're not robots, and we need to hear someone who is speaking to us on God's behalf, as God's representative, the priest, that we are forgiven, so that we don't have to be wondering about it. And the peace that comes from that, the joy that comes from that experience, is just out of this world. I mean, I know when I go, and I, you know, I'm, even though I'm a priest, sometimes I do stupid things, and I need to go to confession and get that off my heart and off my, you know, my mind. And I, when I do, I feel like jumping down the aisle like a little boy. I'm free, you know. I just feel so good and relieved. And I want people to experience that, what that experience is like, of having that burden released off of you. Because, you know, the sacraments are basically God's oaths to us. That's what the word sacrament means. It means oath. And when we take God up on his oath, that he has sworn an oath to forgive us in this sacrament, we have the blessed assurance that we are free of that burden. And I would love for more people to experience that.
It is one of those sacraments that, because we need to be able to talk to another person, is just another tremendous gift of the priesthood that we have.
Mm-hmm.
There's something extraordinarily special about the holy priesthood.
Mm-hmm.
But there is something unique, especially about the character of the priest when he receives that ordination.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. There definitely is. Because he stands, you know, in the person of Christ. And so Christ works through him, especially in the sacrament. So that when the priest says those words of institution at Mass, you know, the priest speaks them in the first person singular, you know, this is my body, this is my blood, because it's Jesus who is there doing it through the priest. And so when the priest says in the confessional, I absolve you from your sin, you know, as priests are just men, they're not God, mm-hmm. but God is using them. And that's why they say these things in the first person, because Jesus is using them to heal souls, to feed souls. I mean, that is such a great blessing. And I'm so blessed myself to be a part of that, to have been called to that. And as you said earlier, to be a priest now for 10 years, what a gift, what a joy that the priesthood is. I absolutely love it.
What are you experiencing now, Father Calloway, with those men who are responding to that call? I mean, because it can be a struggle, sometimes it's a challenge, but there's that pulling on their heart. What's been your experience?
Yeah, there's a lot of vocations out there, by the way. Our religious community, the Marians, we have 29 men in formation right now, and we have another 8 joining this summer.
Wow.
It is. It's incredible. We're almost having the problem of not having enough room to house the men. And what I think I'm finding, because I'm the vocation director, is that most of these men have had some form of a conversion, mm-hmm. or a reversion. They weren't always super devout. They weren't always, you know, as faithful as they should have been. And God got them, whether it was through Our Lady and going to an apparition, or going on a pilgrimage, or going to World Youth Day, or a Steubenville conference, for example, that they have in the summers all across the United States. And something got them.
Mm-hmm.
And now they want to be a witness to mercy because they've experienced it. And they want to bring people to Jesus through Mary, because Our Lady, almost inevitably, in every single one of their lives, has played a major role in bringing them back to Jesus. And I love that about these guys, because it's a Marian generation. You know, for maybe the last 30, 40, maybe even 50 years, Our Lady got left out a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
But now, boy, she's making a comeback.
Oh, praise God.
Yeah, and I think we're going to see that in the priest of tomorrow, is a real Marian generation of priests, and that's fantastic.
We're talking with Father Donald Calloway about his book, Under the Mantle, and there's so much in this book, Father, that, I mean, the whole section on prayers and devotions and how you once again lift up many of those forgotten gems,
mm-hmm.
which are making a tremendous resurgence in the heart of the faithful, including that mm-hmm. great communion of saints.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and we need that in our life. We need devotion. As I say in my book, you know, the word itself, it means of the will. Because a lot of times, sadly, you know, I meet people who, when they don't feel good in prayer, they think somehow that they're not doing it right, or that God isn't paying attention to them or something because they're not getting good feelings. But that's not true at all. You know, love is primarily not about feelings. It's about willing it. Good feelings will come and go. You'll have your honeymoon experiences. But as any married couple would tell you, you know, the honeymoon lasts a week or two, and then it's over, you know, and then it's on with the sacrificial commitment of loving one another, even when it isn't pleasant. And that's the same thing in our relationship with God. And so we keep the fire alive, we keep the divine romance alive, if you will, by having and living a devoted life, meaning of our from our will, so that we pray even when we don't feel like it. We're faithful to Holy Mass on Sunday, even when we don't feel like it, even when it is difficult to get up on a Sunday and go. We do it because we're in love. And that's what being in a relationship means, and especially with God. God is worthy of our sacrifice and of our commitment. And those devotions, you know, like the rosary, like the Stations of the Cross, the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, you know, the different novenas, you know, devotions to the souls in purgatory, to particular saints, to all kinds of things. We need that in so many ways.
Father, that what's wonderful about Under the Mantle is that this is so edifying for individual study, but this is perfect, too, for group study. And I would highly encourage studies for maybe RCI groups or different types of people who are in the process of their continuing conversion, you know, coming together and sharing this. I hope there's going to be a study format maybe in the future so that groups can do this as well as just using the book.
Yeah, you know, that's a great idea. And that's, gosh, that's a really good idea. I hadn't really even thought about that. But that probably is something I need to look into, because I think that would be helpful for people. Because you can unpack it and even go deeper and take it in other directions, just using the book as a springboard to have discussions about prayer and what it means to, you know, go deeper in the devotional life. Gosh, that's a fantastic idea.
Well, and what makes this book different, too, is that you make it about the 21st century, and you tie in that those important teachings on manhood and femininity. And those are the last two chapters in the book. But those are so important because he created us male and female. And
right.
You started with Mary. You brought us through to Jesus, who broke open this huge expanse for us. And then once again, now how do we live that out? And you give us those guides in aiding us in those understandings. It flows so beautifully.
I mean, a lot of people wonder about prayer, and they wonder about the papacy and the priesthood and, you know, all of those things. And then, you know, masculinity and femininity. I get asked those questions all the time. When I'm out speaking, people are just bombarding me with so many questions. People want to know.
We could spend all day going over all the material here, Father, but I wish we had more time, but do you have any final thoughts for us?
Yeah, I just, I definitely encourage people to get a copy and to soak it up and to pray over it. And I say in the introduction to, you know, to read it slowly and let it sink in. Get everything you can from those Marian gems, because the saints have a way of saying it that I can't. You know, they put it in a pithy little one or two sentences that with little zingers, you know, little spiritual gems that are just like, wow, that makes so much sense. So I can't wait for people to read it. I look forward to getting their feedback on it. And I just pray that everybody falls more in love with Jesus, Our Lady, and the Church.
Oh, amen. I mean, really, the references, that appendix in the back, it's probably one of the best appendixes I've ever seen in a book as far as leading you closer to Our Lady as well as to the gems in the Church.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
With Father Donald Calloway, we've gone inside the pages of Under the Mantle, Marian Thoughts for a 21st Century Priest. To learn more about this book or to obtain a copy, go to marian.org, the website for its publisher, Marian Press. or you can find it at any fine Catholic bookstore. Also be sure to visit Father Calloway's website, fathercalloway.com. To hear and or to download this discussion along with many others, go to discerninghearts.com. This has been a discerninghearts.com production. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join me next time for Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors.